a positive thought maybe before we share the subject tonight, the devotional was. And in some ways, I suppose our subject is a negative subject. However, as I pondered the subject and the purpose of it, I trust that within the purpose, and as we gain knowledge and wisdom from God's word, that there would be a positive outcome. In other words, this subject, the realities of hell, should push us in a direction toward God, should anchor us in righteousness and holiness and obedience as we consider how terrible a place and what it consists of. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. We'll read there after a bit. The word realities simply means facts. So our subject tonight is the facts of hell. That's our subject title. Tonight, I don't know all of the facts of the eternal hell. There is, the scripture gives us many places and terminologies and explanations. At the same time, I still feel like I don't understand it all. And we'll look into some of that. Now, as I looked up the word hell in the dictionary informs me that there is a noun use of the word hell. We're familiar with that, the place of the eternal abode. It says that there's an informal use of the word hell. Verb phrases, including the word hell, the use of the word hell in interjections, and a slang use of the word hell. That was disappointing. But we know, those of us that work in and brush shoulders with those of the world have heard these uses. Well, one of the things that tells me is that these many uses for the word hell, other than the noun use, is an aid to folks losing a grip on the realities of hell. It has it can have a softening process on us, and it can just make us get to the place where we don't realize the seriousness of this eternal abode of the wicked. And so tonight, as Christians, I believe that because of our calling, because of the seriousness of this word, that we would only use it in its noun form and for what it was, for its purpose. Other than that, we are going and doing wrong, I believe. Now tonight, if you're excited about tonight's subject, it's because you're not expecting to go there. And so tonight, I hope you're excited about the subject. I don't know, that's probably maybe giving it a bit of a stretch. But tonight, I hope that each one of us is expecting not to go there. And we heard about the Christmas story, and that is the reason. Luke chapter 16, I like to read just verses 19 through 31. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we'll just go through that. I don't know that I'll reflect a lot on, at least not now, but as we go through the points, it'll come up various times. Luke chapter 16, start reading verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So 6 points to the message tonight, just a progression of thought. And the first one I'd like to give as a reality of hell, that hell is a place. Hell is a place. There will be those that teach that hell is a state, only a state. But we believe and Bible teaches that hell is a place. It says here in this passage that in hell he lift up his eyes. He was in a place. Tonight I left my home, 48 Bream Road, Carlisle. It's a place. You punch that address into Google and it will take you there pretty close. Sometimes it stops at the neighbor's. But it is an address. It is a place. I knew where Calvary Mennonite Church was. It is a place. It is a place that I can come to, go to. It's physical. It's material. I can come there. Hell is a place. It is real. Verse 28 says this place. Is he speaking of his brethren? Testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is a place. We could go to Matthew 25. I'm going to refer to a lot of scripture tonight, pulling out phrases and words to emphasize the point I'm on. And so if you're taking notes, Matthew 25, 41 says that it was prepared for. So this place is prepared. God prepared it for, I think it says, the devil and his angels. Again, speaking that hell is a real place. It's not just a euphemism. It's not just a slang word. It's not just a state of affairs. People use it in an informal way, that it's a state of affairs, that their life is this word. It's not that. This is a real place. God has prepared it. And as I thought of that, the phrase prepared, I thought my mind went to, I believe it's in John, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's speaking to the Christian, and he's speaking of heaven. He's speaking of that eternal abode that is beautiful and precious and enjoyable. But God has also prepared a place for those that are not right with him, those that are wicked. Point number two, hell is an eternal place. Eternal. The word eternal is so vast. From a young boy, I remember trying to wrap my mind around the word eternal or eternity, and realizing that as we speak of it, there's no beginning and there's no end. Eternal goes on. Eternity past, eternity future. And many times when we speak of eternal or eternity, we still use terminology that binds it to time. As human beings, we're so stuck in the time measuring aspects of life and in the terminologies that even to speak of it many times, we still say throughout eternity or something that binds it to time, and it's not that way. It's eternal. Goes on and on and on. Just various verses that bring out this point. Matthew 25, 41 again calls it everlasting fire. Speaking again, emphasizing the eternal place or the eternal aspect of it. In Mark 9:44, it talks about where the fire is not quenched, goes on and on. It doesn't end. Revelation 20, verse 10, day and night forever. Again, emphasizing the eternal aspect. Everlasting burnings, Isaiah 33:14. You see, the experience of hell is endless. Endless. And again, the word endless is kind of a simple word, but at the same time, we can't wrap our mind around it. Everything that we know that is physical and material has a beginning. It has an end. And we're so sensitive to that. And it permeates our being. And we live life in that way. But this is something different. The experience of hell is endless. The third point, hell is an eternal place of punishment. Luke 16, the account we just read, it says, being in torments. I am tormented in this flame, it says in 24. to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, and so on. In verse 28, again speaking of his brethren, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is an eternal place of punishment. Hell is a terrible reality. Terrible is another word that we use many times in many places. Oh, it was a terrible accident. It was a terrible thing we had to go through. We use the word terrible. But as we speak again of hell, hell is a terrible reality. Terrible beyond any human comprehension, beyond any measurement that we can put to it, any word to describe it. It goes beyond that, much and far beyond. Hell is a place of fire, of burning. We find that in many scriptures. It says it here. He is tormented, he said, in this flame. Hell is a place of fire, of burning. Matthew 8:29. The testimony of the devils there. Maybe I should just turn to that one. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 29. It says, talking about Jesus, and when he, in verse 28, and when he came to the other side of the country, the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? I believe they're speaking of hell, and by their testimony, by the testimony of devils, the place of hell is a place of torment. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And the fourth reality that I'd like to consider is hell is an eternal place of punishment for the wicked. Emphasizing in this point that it is the abode of the wicked. We spoke of it earlier, but in Matthew 25, verse 41, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. As God prepared this place, it seems the scripture would point out that it was on his mind that it was for the devil and his angels. Because they are the ultimate wicked. They are the ultimate wicked. We could say Satan is the ultimate wicked, and these are his agents. We could get into discussion about that. We go to Psalm 9, verse 17. It says that the wicked will be turned into hell. Not only the wicked, but those, and it says, and all nations that forget God. And so we find that hell is a place, an eternal place of punishment for the wicked. It is a designated place for the souls that do not know God and those that continue in their sin, continue in their path away from God and their unrighteousness and disobedience and so on. Luke 13, verses 3 to 5, we find that hell is prepared for sinners who refuse to repent. All of us are imperfect. All of us were born in sin. And we needed the Savior. We need that Christmas story that we heard about in devotional. So that Jesus came to take care of that sin problem. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Eternal abode of the wicked. This is the reality of hell. It is designed, prepared for the wicked. Scripture tells us that all who are disobedient to God will go there. In 2 Thessalonians, I'll turn to that one as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Flaming fire, taking vengeance. Who on who? Those who don't know God. Those who are disobedient to God. Those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, they'll be punished. Matthew 24:51 tells us that hypocrites are part of the band of the wicked. And it is prepared for the hypocrites as well. You see, sin is this evil cause that causes individuals to be not in a right relationship with God, and then their eternal abode is in this flame, in this hell fire. Sin is the cause. We sometimes say, and I've said it myself, but I've heard a discussion recently that I may be changing my mind on how at least I say it. But I've said already that God loves the sinner and hates the sin, and there's an aspect of that that is true. But here was the discussion that I heard. The man said, he's a theologian, and he said, but God doesn't cast the sin into hell, he casts the sinner into hell. That's true. So sin is the evil cause, however the wicked person is cast into hell, not their sin. And so God is angry with the wicked every day. I believe Scripture bears that out. Point number five. Hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, is a mystery. Is a mystery. Hell is terrible beyond our comprehension. We have different levels of comprehension. Some can comprehend more than others. But even the most brilliant theologian, I believe hell goes beyond that person's comprehension. And the thing I'd like to say tonight is that we must be careful not to limit the reality of hell's awfulness by our human understanding. We must be careful. I was in a discussion I was messaging a brother from another congregation, and we were talking about the subject of hell. It was in the last year. And I used the word literal. And this brother said, he said, I believe in a real hell. He said, not a literal hell. And I'll tell you why he said that. Don't jump ahead of me here. He said, when we use the word literal, he said, we're tethering it to our understanding. He said, when we use the word real, we believe that it's real, but we're saying we're not completely sure that we comprehend all that God has prepared for the wicked's abode. We believe in a real hell. So we must be careful not to limit the reality of hell's awfulness by our human understanding. And I'll tell you why I say that. I'll bring a few things out in the verses that we read and the verses that we touched on and referred to. This everlasting eternal fire is not something that we are familiar with, as I would understand it. This fire does not consume. Are you familiar with a fire that doesn't consume? The physical fire that we understand and are familiar with. We light a trash pile. We set fire to a brush pile. It consumes. It consumes it. It is reduced to ashes. It changes form. It's consumed. But this everlasting eternal fire does not consume. The rich man there in Luke chapter 16 said, I am tormented in this flame. It is a continual torment that does not consume. In fact, it says another place, where the worm dieth not. It is an eternal flame that does not consume even the worm. And that is why I say tonight that hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, is a mystery. Because I'm not familiar with that. And as I think about the physical and material aspects of fire that I am associated with and know, this goes beyond my understanding. This fire gives no light. Scripture says, "This is the blackness of darkness forever." I don't know. I'm not familiar with. Have no experience with black fire. It's something different. It's something that God has prepared. And tonight I want to be careful not to limit the reality of hell's awfulness by my human understanding. This hell of fire is something very different from the earthly fire, I believe. Infinitely more terrible. And to add to that, what I'm going to call, there might be a better word than mystery, but it's a word I put there. But to add to that, Revelation 20:14 says, it says all that is going to be, has a list there of things that would be cast into hell. And it says there that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death, we know what death is, and hell in this scripture would mean the grave, Hades. Death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire, were cast into hell. So I don't know how that works. I don't understand that is what I'm trying to say. This fire is something very different from earthly fire, and I believe infinitely more terrible. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The sixth point, and last point, hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, claims no true Christians, is a reality of hell. It claims no true Christians. And I felt I needed to put true there. I needed to put true in front of Christians. Our world is full of people that feel they are a Christian. I just read something, heard something just today. Elon Musk, I guess in quotation marks I'll say, had a Christian ministry, had an interview with Elon Musk. You all know who Elon Musk was, is. And they wanted to know if he was a Christian. They asked him different questions about God and so on, and they got to the end and they said, Would you be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior sitting here, you know, for us today? And he's like, well, I don't know. He's thinking. He said, well, he said, you know, when it comes to Jesus' teachings, he said, I embrace them. I believe them. There's a lot of wisdom in them. He said, and I, you know, he feels that it's a good thing. What Jesus taught was there was a lot of wisdom in that, and It's a great way to live life, because he said if you go for an eye, then everybody would be blind. So to turn the other cheek and so on, he said that's all good. But so, and those that were interviewing him said, so you're like at a 60-40. He was thinking. Well, he said, if Elon Musk said, if Jesus wants to save me, I wouldn't stand in the way. And those around the table said, yay, we got him. He's saved. And so tonight I put into this point, hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, claims no true Christian. Because there was a lot of people saying the name of Christ without any intentions of following him, without any intentions of him really being their Savior, maybe with really no understanding, and so on. You know where I'm going with that. But as we think about this tonight, I want to hold out that the truth that Christians, yes, the subject of hell should motivate us toward God, should anchor us in God, whatever all the phrases and words we want to use, it should do that. But we don't need to fear hell in a way that, will I go, will I not go? It claims no true Christians. We need to align with God. You see, in this world, I believe there is no person that desires hell as a destiny. Some will say, well, yeah, I that's where I'm going. And they try to make light of it, and they try to act like they don't really care, but they do. No one desires hell as an eternal destiny. And so, as they go through life, some will deny that there is such a place. But a denial of hell will not deliver us from it. A rejection of hell's severity will not soften it for us. Failure to realize it as sin's consequence will not render you an escape. A portion of time there will not suffice hell to release us. No, my friends, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. True Christians. The place, hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, claims no true Christians. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture is telling us that Jesus came. He came and he died. He shed his precious lifeblood. He rose again for our to forgive us of our sins, to make that provision for our sins, till we could be saved from them. He loved us so much. He loved the entire world so that we don't not only be saved from our sin, and in addition, we have the place of heaven and be saved from this eternal hell. It is Jesus Christ. And tonight, we can be assured of our salvation. There is assurance of salvation that the Christian can have. We can be sure because we have claimed his blood. We have claimed his promise that he has forgiven us. And we can walk in righteousness. He has made all the provision of life and godliness, as he says in Peter. And tonight, I don't understand. I don't understand the resistance. The resistance to the shepherd and the resistance to the Savior. I don't understand it. And I know it even within my own heart. You know, sometimes there is that, the temptation comes and so on. But as we think about the tender shepherd, as we think about what he came, his life's work and his life's blood and the plan and the provision of salvation, I don't understand when people hold it off and they say no. Or I don't understand why people live in a lifestyle of hypocrisy, sitting on church pews, pretending. I don't understand it. Tonight, I don't know who's here in this audience, and I don't know all of you. I know some of your faces, but for sure I don't know your life, and I don't know your heart. But this place of hell is eternal. It's a place reserved for the wicked. It's prepared for the wicked. And it's far terrible beyond our comprehension. But there's a Savior, and there's a shepherd that wants to save you from your sins so that you can not only have peace here on life, but have peace in eternity. That's a beautiful story. Don't resist it. Don't hide anything. Come clean. Because it's this beautiful Savior. You can walk with him. He loves us. He came because he knew we needed him, as we heard in our devotions. Friend, tonight, hell, the eternal place of punishment for the wicked, claims no true Christians. Let's align with the shepherd. Let's align with the Father God. Allow his Holy Spirit into our life because of that provision he has made and the promises that he has. And walk with him so we can escape this terrible, terrible place. Shall we pray? Eternal God, Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, thankful hearts again for your word. And Lord, as we consider the subject of eternal hell, tonight, we realize the some of the limitations of our comprehension. But we understand enough to realize that it is a terrible, terrible place. And that you have reserved it for the wicked and for the devil and his angels. Lord, may the truth of that eternal abode of the wicked be something that moves us to a greater and a more precious relationship with you. Lord, you know this audience. You know each heart. Help us to serve you because of love. And as we serve you because of love, you will reward us and gift us with that heavenly abode where we can worship around the Lamb, around the throne. A beautiful place of peace and rest and joy and worship. So Lord, you know the hearts. You know each life. We just pray that each one in this audience tonight would be prepared, should you come tonight, for one of us personally, or all of us collectively, as you break through the clouds, that we would be ready because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Ready to go on to our eternal reward and to be saved from the awfulness of sin and the awfulness of hell. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and given to us. Thank you for this congregation here and the light and testimony that they are in this congregation. Bless each family, bless each father, mother, children. Bless the leadership here. Give them what they stand in need of as they labor to prepare themselves and labor to prepare a people ready for your return. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.